If you like to follow along, I'm going to be reading in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 15. This is a glorious scripture. They're all glorious, but you know. This one just really gets me. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him, speaking of Christ, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. To hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And I'm just going to stop right there for this. All, and I mean all, error in theology comes from two sources, or two ways. An attempt to make God less than he is, or an attempt, or maybe and an attempt, to make man more than he is. Henry Mahan wrote that. I wish I'd have wrote it. I will add this, though. All error in theology comes boldly from the heart of man. Man has made and is making, trying to, cast aspersions upon the Word of God. And I mean some of them in a very organized and orderly manner. They are attacking this book. They are attacking the source of this book in the Greek and in the Hebrew. And yet, they've been doing this for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Origen started in Alexandria, I know of. I don't know who else did it before him. I'm sure somebody else has, but yet, here it is. We still have it. By God's grace, we still have his word. That's wrong. To try to change the word of God to suit your theology is wrong. And that's just all you can say about it. Other than the fact I can say this, it's a sin. It's a sin. Because the scripture is our only authority. It's the only authority. But here in Luke 15, we see, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the him is Christ. But here's the question I want to ask. Who draws near unto Christ Jesus? Well, it tells you right here. Publicans and sinners. Understand, Pharisees and scribes were there. But they didn't draw near. Isn't that something? Sinners. Publicans. Now you understand, a publican was a tax collector for the Romans. Okay? In World War II, they called them collaborators. They worked with the enemy. They were French people that worked for the Germans. And after that war was over, some bad things happened to those people. That's what these publicans were. To the Jews, publicans were traitors, but they drew near to Christ. They drew near to Christ. To the Jews, sinners were beneath them, but they drew near to Christ. They drew near to Christ. Understand that Christ himself said, I am come to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what he said. Now, when we think of poor, we think of monetarily poor. We think of people that don't have money, beggars and such. They came too. But you understand, like it's in Matthew, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there shall be the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The publicans were not monetarily poor, but they were poor in spirit. And these publicans and these sinners drew near unto Christ. And these publicans and these sinners were looked down upon and hated by the Pharisees and the scribes. These are people the religious of the day didn't want to have anything to do with. You were supposed to stay away from them. They drew near to Christ. All the publicans and sinners draw near unto him. The outcasts of Jewish society drew near to Jesus. Those that were shunned and hated by the religious society of the day drew near to Jesus. You understand, I'm saying I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. And they drew near to him. This is the wonderful thing too. They drew near to him for a reason. What's it say? They drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. To hear him. He had just been telling them a parable in the previous chapter. And now he's getting ready to tell them some more. Or another one. And here's the thing that people will not get. These publicans, these sinners, these outcasts that drew near to hear him. The Lord of glory spoke to publicans and sinners. He preached to publicans and sinners. Oh my. The Creator of heaven and of earth speaks to sinners. That's grace, folks. That's grace. They came to hear him. And he spoke to them in parables. Before this, he spoke of a man, well, it was verse 30 of chapter 14, began to build and was not able to finish. And then he told them about, what was the other one before that? No, I'm going to talk about that later. Sorry, I don't want to get into that. And he told them, so likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, what? Let him hear. And what happened? And the publicans and the sinners drew near to him for to hear him. I like that. I like that. You understand? Because when Christ really speaks to you, you're going to hear. And one of the, here's the other thing. You're going to want to draw near for to hear him. You're going to come to hear him. Oh, I know, I know. We're surrounded by places, and they'll go to church, as they call it, and they'll come out saying, wasn't the choir lovely today? I just dearly love that song. They couldn't tell you what the man's message was that preached to them if their life depended upon it, because they weren't listening. And that's okay in this manner, in this way, because he probably didn't say anything worth hearing. But Jesus Christ's words are always worth hearing. And guess who knows it? Sinners. Only sinners know. Because here it says, he came, and what they came to hear him, and he spake this parable unto them. And he spoke the parable of the lost sheep, of the lost coin, and the lost son, the prodigal son. Oh my. Walter, he preached irresistible grace. You know, some people hate that term. You know why? Because they hate the doctrine. And if you're going to hate irresistible grace, you're hating Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. That sheep didn't have anything to do with being found. That sheep didn't have anything to do with coming back into the fold. And that sheep doesn't have anything to do with staying in the fold. But Christ rejoices, and there's rejoicing in heaven over one soul that comes to him. Oh. He told them the good shepherd will find his sheep. And the Pharisees and the scribe murmured. Now notice when the Pharisees and the scribe murmured. They murmured right after publicans and sinners came near to him to hear him. To hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Let's be clear here, folks. Murmuring is never good in the scriptures. They did it to Moses. They murmured against God in the wilderness. And here, these Pharisees and scribes are murmuring. And the word, you look it up in the Greek, you know what the word means? The word means complained. They complained. They complained because people came to hear a preacher. They complained because the people didn't come to hear them. Oh, I don't want you to come here to hear me. I want you to come here to hear Christ preached. That goes for the streaming. That goes for the television. We're not here to be somebody. We're here to preach somebody. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. And sinners will draw near unto him to hear him. They didn't like it. And it tells you exactly why they didn't like it. They didn't like this man receiveth sinners. This is the difference between the publicans and the sinners and the Pharisees and the scribes. It's not that the Pharisees and scribes were real religious and the publicans and sinners weren't. That's not the difference. That's not the difference. Because let's be clear, the Pharisees and scribes were here too. They were here. But it doesn't say they drew near. It doesn't say they drew near. And you want to know why? Because they didn't. They didn't. They did come, but sinners came for to hear him. The Pharisees came and the scribes came. Why? Look back at chapter 14, Luke chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees. This is Jesus Christ. His disciples went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. That they watched him. They weren't there to hear him. They didn't invite him in to hear him. They invited him in to watch him on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. They held their peace. And he took him, and he healed him, and he let him go. And he answered them, saying, which of you have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Verse 6, and they could not answer him again to these things. Understand, the Pharisees, the publicans and the sinners came to draw near unto him and to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes came to watch him. That's what they were there for. I listened to a message this morning from Henry Mahan on the way up here, and he talked about it's just as important why you do something as what you do. Yeah. What did Christ say? He said, don't give your alms as to be seen of men. Because if you do, you won't get any reward from heaven. Matter of fact, they told him, that's your reward. Woo, men got to see you. That and a dime will get you a cup of coffee 40 years ago or 100 years ago, whatever it was. No, do it in secret, and the Lord which seeth in secret will reward you. It's the question of why do you do things? And the publicans and the sinners, what? Came for to hear him. And the scribes and the Pharisees didn't. And that's just the facts. That's just the facts. It comes out in their attitude. He ate bread. Chapter 14 and verse 1. He came into the house and ate bread with the chief Pharisee. And they watched him. They didn't hear him. They didn't listen to him. Now I'm sure he spoke and they heard it. But it doesn't say that they heard. It says they watched him. They watched him. And they wanted to catch him doing something wrong. That's what they wanted. Oh my. They wanted to catch him committing a sin, Mason. They were wasting their time looking for the Lord of glory to see him. But they didn't know who he was. I remember, Walter, when you said it, when John the Baptist told him, there's one, he's here now among you. The Christ of God is here. Not one of the scribes and Pharisees asked where he was. You know why? They didn't want to know. They didn't want to know. They thought they knew better than God's prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet. They were wrong. And they're wrong here. They didn't want to hear him because they didn't believe him. And they watched him. Sometime in the future, some of these fellows here might have been the ones that tried to stone him. I don't know. But why did the Pharisees and scribes hate Jesus? I already said it. Why did they watch him? This man receiveth sinners. This man receives sinners. I don't see an account anywhere in the scriptures here where Jesus sent anybody away, like, get away from me. Never happened. This man laid hands on lepers and made them whole. Not just healed them, made them whole. Oh my. The worst of the disease. Look at the scriptures. And read of who Christ spoke to and who he walked with. Who he went out of his way to see. What did he tell his disciples one time? I must needs go to Samaria. Now, Samaria is a place you don't go. Not if you're Jewish. You weren't supposed to go there. Not only did he go, he spoke to a woman who had been divorced 4 or 5 times and now was living with a man who wasn't her husband. And he stayed there 2 or 3 days. And Samaritans, what? Sinners, believed on him. believed on it. He received, actually went out of his way to go see, but he received and spoke with a man who had been blind from birth. And before he spoke to the man, his disciples asked him, who sinned? This man's parents or this man himself? And Christ said, neither, but that the power of God could be seen. He went to this man and he healed this man's blindness. And he sent that man on his way. And he went and saw, guess who? Some Pharisees. Yeah. And you know what they did? They talked to him for a little bit, then they tried to throw him out of the synagogue. But I like this man, this blind man who could now see, because he looked at those fellas. He said, whether this man be sinner or no, I don't know. But here's one thing I do know. And I love this part because he says, I know whereof I was blind, but now I see. And you can throw me out of the synagogue, but you can't take that away from me. You can throw rocks at me, but guess what? By God's grace, I still see. And Jesus Christ came back to that man after this, the man who could now see, and revealed himself to him. It's in John 9. You want to look it up. It says, do you believe on the Son of God? He says, who is he, Lord? My eyes are open. I can see now. Where is he, Lord? He says, it's he that's talking to you. And that man worshiped him. Amen. That's what it said. He worshiped him. Well, Jesus never said he was the Son of God. Well, there he did. He just told a blind man. But most people are too blind to see that. Luke 19, I'm not going to turn there, but it says when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Who did he see? Zacchaeus. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Who is Zacchaeus? He was one of the chief publicans. Now, there was a mob there. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree because he was short so he could see. And the one person Christ talked to that we know of was a publican. What? And a sinner. You know how I know he's a sinner? Well, A, he was a human being. And B, they told us. I will read that part. Hang on. Just so I don't say it incorrectly. He told Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down. Isn't that amazing? And received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all what? Murmured. Complained. Murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And yes, he did. And guess what? That sinner received him joyfully. You understand? There's something wrong with you if you don't like someone that receives the Lord joyfully.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, now is that bad? It's true. Yeah. It's true. If you're complaining about who God has deigned to save, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. If you're that way, it's because you don't know Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And that's just the truth of it. I am happy anybody sees my Lord. Anybody wants to know my Lord. Excuse me. Oh my. This man receives sinners. This man receives sinners. Today I must abide at thy house. So you know what's going to happen, right? Today he was going to abide at Zacchaeus' house. Those men complained because they didn't understand. And here's what they didn't understand. This man receives sinners, and they receive him. Joyfully. Joyfully. Oh my, I like that. I do. I do. And you know this? One other thing I'll tell you. Sinners followed it. Sinners followed Christ. And it came to pass afterward, this is Luke chapter 8, verse 1, that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, his disciples. And, verse 2, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Sinners follow Jesus Christ. Now, is that too simple? If so, I like that. That's the sinner, folks. Mary Magdalene, who had seven devils in her. There was the Gadarene demoniac. Went to the land of the Gadarenes, and that fellow was running around in the tombs. He abode in the tombs. What was he doing? He was living with the dead. Folks, that's us. That's what we were. And what did God do? What did Christ do? He didn't bind the man. They tried to bind him, but they couldn't. They could bind him for a minute, but he'd break the fetters. And besides that, what good is a bound demonic person anyway? No, Christ cast out the devils, were called legion, for they were many, and set him free. Oh my, the truth shall set you free. And that fellow who had been possessed of many, many devils, the next time you see him, he's seated in his right mind, sitting and talking with the Lord. And you know what happened? He wanted to go with Christ. Christ said, no, you're going to follow me by going home. What? You're not going to follow me. He said, go home. And he published abroad and published at his home the great and wonderful things what this man who received sinners had done for him. It's an amazing thing, you know. Women with issues of blood shouldn't even been there, we talked about. They weren't supposed to be with the congregation if they had an issue of blood. You're unclean. You're supposed to be gone. And there he is touching the hem of his garment. And he healed her. It's amazing the things that go on. That the religious do not want to know. But publicans and sinners draw near unto him. For to hear him. But not only does he receive sinners. What does it say? And eats with them. This man broke bread with sinners. This man, Jesus Christ, the righteous, accepted the company of sinners. He ate with them. And drank with them. Now you understand, they didn't think it was strange that he went to one of the chief Pharisees and broke bread with them, ate bread with them. But if you do it with publicans and sinners, there's something wrong with you. Christ said, no. No, 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 no. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. And if you draw near to him to hear him, you're going to hear about repentance. You're going to hear about turning to God from idols. He spoke to them and they listened. They came to him and he ate with them. He ate with them. The God of all grace invite sinners to his table.
Amen.
He invites sinners to his table. Oh my. If they draw near to him, to hear him, he eats with them. I like that. Now understand, this is the way it works. Christ may be at your house, but he's the one who's going to break the bread. I remember that sermon, Walter. You know, Christ with on the road to Emmaus and talking with Cleopas and the other fella, and he said he sat down. They asked him to sit down and eat with him. He took the bread and he broke it and gave it to him. He was their guest. They were eating with he was eating with them, but he took the bread, he broke it, and he passed it out. You understand? You're not going to have anything unless Christ gives it to you. And if Christ gives it to you, you got all you need. He's going to break the bread and he's going to give the bread. Because understand, this is a gracious thing. Christ ate with them. Ate with them. You understand? It's not surprising that they would eat with him. The surprising thing is that he ate with them. Ah. And I suppose, if you know the condition of man, it's not surprising that the Pharisees didn't like it. The amazing thing is he eats with them. See, the Pharisees thought it was a sign of sin. In Jesus or on Jesus. And that's wrong. This is a sign of grace. This is a sign of grace. And the Pharisees and the scribes had no understanding at all of the grace and the mercy of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The God of all glory receives and eats with sinners. The God of all grace receives and eats with sinners. God manifest in the flesh receives and eats with sinners. That's grace. That's grace. Well, here's another one. Think of this now. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords eats with sinners. He brings them and he sustains, he feeds his sheep. And there's only one thing to say to that. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now the question is, are you a sinner or a Pharisee? Do you want to draw near to him or do you just want to watch? There's way too many spectators in religion. They just want to watch. They want to see the show. And that's what some churches are putting on is a show. It's entertainment. You got to bounce around. You got to do stupid things. No, no. I do stupid things anyway. But I try not to do stupid things here. I got enough problems behaving myself somewhere else. I just want to preach his gospel here. And this man receives sinners and he eats with them. But do you want to draw near to him? Or do you just want to watch? This is his commandment, that we love one another. Now, he doesn't say, I want you to love one another where you're socially acceptable. No. It says that, well, he that is begotten loves those that are begotten of him. Do you love the people of Christ? Do you love the people who love Christ? Do you love one another? Look at this, Luke 14 again. I'm going to close with this. Verse 15. And when one of them sat at meat with him, this is before, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The Lord Jesus Christ bids many to come, but they won't. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, to be a son of God. The Lord's going to have his great supper, Walter. Paul, the Lord is going to have his great supper, whether you're there or not. And that's just the way it is, folks. He's going to have his great supper. And if you don't want it, more for me. I don't know. Like that second son, or the first son, Mason, and the prodigal son that he's going to tell them about. They're having a feast and he's mad because he never got to have a feast. Listen, buddy, if the Father has a feast, I want to be there.
Amen. That's right.
Now, does it matter who else is there? No. You know why? It's the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
It's his great supper. Oh, and if you don't want to be there, don't be there. Because I don't want you to be there if you're going to be grumpy. And you ain't going to be there if you're going to be grumpy. You know, this is the Lord. He's asking you to eat at his table. He's bidding you come. And publicans and sinners drew near for to hear him. Oh, and this man receives sinners and eats with them. Eats with them. Ah, I like that. Does it matter who the other guests are? It really shouldn't. It really shouldn't. And I'm going to tell you this. If you know him, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you come to Christ, it's because he came to you first to show you you were a publican and a sinner. And you know in your heart of hearts, down deep inside, you're not better than anybody else. We're all sinners. That is true. But I know, like Paul, I feel like Paul saying, I am the chief of sinners. Y'all don't know how bad I am. And I'm going to do my best to keep it that way. But I know how bad I think I know how bad I am. But I don't. I don't. But God knows how bad I am. Jesus Christ knows how bad we are. And yet he says, come. Oh my. And guess what? This is all in the present tense. Jesus Christ today still receives sinners and eats with them. And sinners will draw near to him when he draws them to him. No man cometh unto the Father. No man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draws him. Oh, but he doesn't stop there. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody. Not even God.
Amen.
Not even God. Because in Christ, oh, we have all spiritual blessings. Sinners will draw near unto him to hear him and to eat at his very table. Why? Because this man receives sinners. Are you a sinner? Are you? Come. And if you just want to watch, watch. But please leave me alone. I'm going to eat at his table, if I can. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, and for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, you have given us everything when you have given us your Son. Wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption and goodness and graciousness and mercy and love. Thank you. Be with Walter, Paul, as they come and speak your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.